The following Q&A took place at the Underground Cafe in Ventura, California on March 9th, 2006, after the showing of the documentary entitled Trudell.
My name is Nathan Brungrope, and I'd like to introduce my cousin, John Trudell. Privilege and honor.
Appreciate that. What's going to happen here, my understanding, is we're going to do question and answer, right? So if you have any questions, I'll try to answer it. Yes.
This is great about where you've been, where you came from. What are you doing now, and what are you going to be doing in the next little bit?
That's classified. I learned to never tell. I just do what I do, right? And so I'm still working on my music, actually working on an album that, if things go well, will be finished by the summer. And then we've been trying to get this film out and going, and then I've got some touring coming, and I just find the work where I can, speaking things or whatever. So there are no grandiose plans other than get through tomorrow. I'm almost through today. Yes. Purchasing, I think, I'm not real up on this, but I think sometime like maybe May or June, they're looking at doing a DVD release. And I know that on public TV on April, I think it's the 11th, there's a 53-minute version of this that's going to show on PBS, I think on the independent lens. So there's a television edited down version.
Hi, you've done so much to encourage people's spirits over the years. I was wondering if you could talk a little about who supports you and who takes care of you right now.
Classified. That's classified. I can't tell that. Oh, no. No.
As long as it's someone.
All right. Well, see, when I was born, I was crazy. And then I had a series of experiences that, you know, just made me crazier. So I got a lot of me's in here. There's a whole bunch of us. So we kind of take care of each other. And then survive off the land the best we can, really. But I have been fortunate in my life that different people have just shown up. I mean, if I ever needed somebody to show up, they've shown up. You know, I've been fortunate in that. I would say that.
Today, President Bush signed, happily, the Patriot Act, and I'd like to know what your thoughts are on the Patriot Act at this day, after seeing everything you've been through.
No, I mean, I don't think about it. It's been the Patriot Act since they got off the boat. It was just, when they first got off the boat, it was the Patriot Act for everybody. And then they loosened it a little bit because they needed their collective mass to conquer the environment for them. So they gave them more freedoms. And so they made the Patriot Act a little less visible. But now it's back, right? The Puritans are back. And they just got lasers and atomic bombs and biological and viral warfare type things going on for them. So when I look at the situation going on now, to me, if I'm surprised by any, I'm not outraged by any. There's no new outrage. It's the same continuous outrage. And what I find interesting about Bush is that the math of the IQ, see, everybody that doesn't like Bush, and even the people that he works for know this, right, that he's not very intelligent. But what confuses me is that everybody knows he's not very intelligent, but all the people that hate Bush blame him. See, so that concerns me, makes me worried about the people that hate Bush that are blaming him for the problem because he's not intelligent enough to create the problem. It's a little, it gets confusing in here sometimes, but there's a picture in there, and I know there is. Back to about the Patriot Act. In my own opinion, they're reestablishing the medieval times with the neon and the lasers. If you think about the terminology, medieval. See, so they called it that. They just spelled it differently. Medieval. All right? So maybe we're in the full part of the evil now. All right? Because now they got the technology, so it's full now, and it can breathe. So anyway, things like the individual things that they do, none of it surprised me. This is what I expect them to do. Exactly, very precisely what I expect them to do. Because when you look at the world, number one, it is a predatory mindset. And George, he's a humanoid, a mutant. The Aborigines call them mutants. What civilization has done has made them mutant human beings. You know, so they're mutant. And so we're all got a touch of mutant. And some of us just have a larger hit than others. So when you look at what these people, George Bush and them, are doing here, George isn't doing it. There's an industrial ruling class on this planet, and they create the governments, the religions, they create the whole thing. And an industrial ruling class truly is mining this planet. And everything is about energy. Everything is about energy. So this industrial ruling class is here mining this planet for its energy. We are a part of this planet. We are little individual units of electromagnetic energy, very precisely. This is our form. But we project, radiate, emanate electromagnetic energy through our thoughts, through our sounds. So everything is about energy, just like the fossil stuff, all of it. So this industrial ruling class, this predatory industrial ruling class, is mining everything on this planet. It isn't just the rocks and the water and the trees. It's mining everything because everything represents energy. So it mines our energy, the being part of human, through how we perceive reality, through our intelligence. So when we are born into this reality, they change how we perceive reality by blaming everything on us through original sin and other authoritarian indoctrinations. And they convert this into a form of energy fuel to run their system. See, so they're not going to change. It's not going to happen. So to not be surprised by anything that they're going to put down in front of us, they're just more efficient than they've ever been. It's an industrial Reich and a corporate Nazi. And they're here. And they've been evolving for a while, but they showed up with oil. I think that's when they showed up with oil. Then that rate of acceleration accelerated and intensified through time. That's the world that we're in. But not to be overwhelmed by it. It's just the reality that's there. But how we perceive reality, how we use our intelligence to perceive reality, says how we can influence. See, we will influence whatever happens. If the Nazis have their feast, we'll influence allowing that to happen. And blaming anybody isn't going to change that. Or if we starve the Nazis, we can influence that, but it's all in how we use the power of our intelligence. I'm getting off the question here, but through your fears and your doubts and your insecurities, how bad can you make yourself feel? All right, and then how does that affect the people around you? And while you're sitting there feeling worthless and useless and powerless, right? So people sit around feeling powerless while they make themselves feel terrible. And it affects all the people around them. Well, see, I'm going to say, duh, maybe that is power. That is power. So we're not powerless. But we've been programmed to perceive reality through our fears and our doubts and our insecurities, through our inabilities rather than through our abilities. And we use that power on ourselves. It's like we're mining ourselves. We're the little atom smashers just right in here, just by the way we've been programmed to perceive reality. But that's the power that our intelligence represents. So we could very just as easily take that understanding and use our intelligence with clarity and coherency. Use our intelligence to think, because we've been programmed to believe we're thinking. See, we've been programmed to believe. We have not been taught to think. We've been programmed to believe, so therefore we believe and we don't think. This thing, in your own common everyday conversation, how many times do you say, I believe? Well, in reality to me, I believe, that means I don't know. You know, let's just be a little more accurate. I don't know, or I know, or I think. When we think in terms of I think, then we're activating our intelligence process. When we use the sounds and the thought of I believe, then we're not activating anything. So, and then the predator that wants to come and feed off of us, they programmed us to suppress our thinking process with beliefs, and to suppress our feelings with emotions. So then they create these outrageous circumstances, and then we emotionally react to our beliefs. We're not thinking anything out. We're not really in touch with what we feel, because an emotional outburst is a suppression of feelings, is an explosion. See, and then so we're all distorted, and we can't produce, we cannot create a clear, coherent objective. See, so the Patriot Act is there to enslave, but if you were the wrong color, or the wrong religion, or the wrong gender, the Patriot Act, this isn't its first time around. All right, so anyway, I'm back.
What, you know, in your justified paranoia, what...
I'm not paranoid.
What musicians...
I am not paranoid. All right?
Rightfully
so. I'm not paranoid. I'm going to argue with you about that. I want to nail on this word here a minute. Paranoia, I think paranoias are our fears and our doubts and our insecurities. I think that's what paranoia is really all about. If we look around and we have reasons to be concerned about what the hell's going on around us, I don't consider that to be paranoia. See? But they want to program us to believe paranoia is something so that we won't be cautious, because we'll just think, well, I'm being paranoid. Yes?
The artists that you might look up to or you might recommend for us to follow?
First, in a general way, the artist, whoever they, and this isn't limited to artists, this is just people. I look the ones that are authentic. They're authentically communicating. I mean, we may be limited in our authenticities because of our distorted perceptions of reality, but you can always tell when there's an authenticity. Because that to me represents they have some kind of a center with themselves. Because there are many people I meet, and I don't think these people are very authentic. I mean, they're just so far removed from themselves, they don't know how to be authentic. And I just look at it in that kind of way. Now, you know, I'm not paranoid, but I sit in my room all the time and don't go anywhere. Right? But I'm not paranoid. Okay. So I don't follow a lot of the other artists and the stuff that's going on. I just, my me's keep me busy. But I respect people, Kris Kristofferson. I think the man is one of the brilliances as a thinker and someone able to see. I really do. Well, anyway, I know this. So I take him beyond the writer. Dylan, Jackson Browne, John Prine. But see, I used to listen to these writers because they told stories that represented something, some kind of a story in some kind of a way. And I really like the way, there's a man named out of Seattle, Jim Page, that I think also has this tremendous ability. So when I looked at the artists, it's the people that bring a certain energy. Because to me, there are times, especially with music, it takes a certain infusion of a certain human energy that kind of revitalizes. Because there are too many performers out there that are exactly that, performers, and are depending on the technology to create the energy, rather than them taking their energy and using the technology to convey it. These are the ones that take the energy there to deliver it rather than have the technology create it. If this makes any sense, but it's something in authenticity.
If we love our Mother Earth and we want to do the best we can to help protect her, what are the best things we can do?
Remember this. As human beings, we have human and being. The human, the visible, visible. Our bone, flesh, and blood is made up of the metals and minerals and liquids of the earth. We are shapes of the earth. We have being, and all things of the earth are made up of the same materials. And we have being. All things of the earth have being. That's why they mine uranium or dig up fossils. They'll cut down trees. So we have being. All things of the earth have being. And our being comes from our relationship to the sun, sky, universe. Literally, sunlight is almost like sperm that brings life to the water-bearing womb that is the earth. And so our relationship to the reality of power is in that relationship to reality, real power. See, so we are human beings. So in order to best take care of the earth, I think, is we just have to remember where we come from. And as a part of that, and we are human beings. And I think it's crucial that we recognize ourselves as human beings. I don't think that we do. I think that's a great deal of our problem, is we don't recognize ourselves as human beings. We've got either one prideful or oppressive label and identity after another laid upon us as our, you know, as they strip away our ancestral memory, they lay these identities of, and we start identifying as these limited identities rather than as human beings. Columbus got off the boat. He said, "Who are you?" We said, "We're the human beings." And he said, "Oh, Indians." But that was because Columbus didn't understand what it meant to be a human being, because the descendants of the tribes of Europe, by that time, had that memory erased. So when we said human being to him, it was beyond his concept. He could only think of possession and property. So for some reason, as all this goes on, they strip our memory, the memory of the human being being a human being. And we need to understand that we are human beings, and we should recognize ourselves as that. And I don't have a simple way to say that other than to use our intelligence clearly and coherently and think about it. You know, find it, because it's all there. It's in the genetic memory. Yes?
I wanted to ask you a question, if I could, John. First of all, I wanted to say thank you for your gift sharing with us and being here. And the other thing, I read the other day that said Mother Earth is not a gift from our parents. It's a present from our children, on loan to us from our children. What would be your message to the children today, if you could convey one to everyone?
Don't trust anybody over six. No, to use their intelligence clearly and coherently. I think that we need to do that. Actually, I think that telling them is part of it. But sometimes you tell through how you show. And I think that we can talk about all the stuff, but the reality is we have to show the next generation clear, coherent use of our intelligence. We have to do it. It's not, see, you're not going to put it on me. What would I tell them? Because, all right. No. We're in this together.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
No, I'm not. Prove it.
I was thinking that something interesting you were talking about, the difficulties that we're experiencing are part of a disease process. And there's an old saying about power corrupting. And what I'm thinking is possibly that people are very similar to each other, no matter what nation. But when they get around oil, that is power. And so it caused us to be corrupted. And I know it may be a scary thought, but it could be a ray of light, that we're almost out of oil. So I'm thinking that maybe
we're almost out of ozone.
It's a race.
See which one runs out first.
Exactly. But I'm thinking that maybe things will get better and people can go back to being people again.
No, things
we
aren't
run out of oil.
Things aren't going to get better. Just because we would like them to, it's not going to happen that way. As human beings, our Creator put us into this reality and gave us this form and gave us this intelligence that we have, which is a part of the form. So our Creator gave us these things. And if we use these things clearly and coherently, because it's power, this is our power, how we use our intelligence and how we manifest. So if we use our power clearly and coherently, we get to remain in the evolutionary reality for a long, long, long time. If at any point we use our power chaotically and incoherently, then we will evolve ourselves out of the evolutionary system at the point that we become a threat to the living environment that is the Earth itself. Go ahead, throw some uranium out there and ruin it for a million years. That's for us. See, Earth got a million years. So when we're dealing in the reality of spiritual reality versus just this physical one. And the other part of it is, oil isn't power. Oil is energy. It's a mutated form of power, but it's energy. Oil isn't power. Power comes in categories. It's almost like dimensions. The dimension of power that is the most important dimension of power is the power that we create by how we use our intelligence. That's the power that we're connected to. That's the power that will change things, because this power has the ability to heal as well as the ability to destroy. But this power is not a mechanical power without its own intelligence that it can manifest through it, its actions through. All right, we carry that power, and if anything's going to change, it's a decision that we must make. We have to participate. We can't sit around and hope, you know, and want and wish and what if. And if only. None of that counts. All that does is aid and abet the predator that is here to destroy us. All that whole thing. We have to become active. We have to initiate active use of our intelligence, however we choose to do it. Because we all operate differently, because we're all unique individuals in our own little realities in a way. But we have to take responsibility. Life isn't about freedom. Freedom. Freedom Everybody that's seeking freedom, that means they're enslaved. And yet they want freedom. Well, freedom is the enslavement. Life is about responsibility. And when we take responsibility for the use of our intelligence, when we take individual responsibility for how we participate in this reality, then we will find the way to being free. Being free is one thing. Freedom is an abstraction. Why do they put dumb on the end of the word? Like fiefdom, serfdom, seldom, kingdom. All right, I don't trust it. No, no, no. Even wisdom, I don't trust that word either. Well, you want to dumb up wise. That can make me get lost in myself. No, I've got all this wisdom. Right? And people get lost on that ride. So life is truly about responsibility. But whatever's going to happen, they're not going to go away on their own. You know, they're going to eat us up to every last drop. We're the food, and they're going to lick the bowl if they get the opportunity. That's how crude they are. Oil, crude. Yes. Well, no, I mean, it's just there. It's just continuing to be. See, but we have the ability to slow it down. But how old was I when I first could say, when I could first say those words, predatory energy? I mean, I truly don't remember. I mean, I wasn't a little kid or anything like that. No, it just somewhere it popped up, like a lot of things pop up, and I don't know why or how or have no explanation. They just, things just tumble out sometimes. So he thanked me for coming here to share my stuff, you know, but really in reality, I'm a starving artist now, see, and I can't afford a psychiatrist, see, but I gotta get it out. Otherwise, I'll go to work post office.
Thank you. John, I wanted to ask you just how close were you able to collaborate with Bonnie Raitt in her newest album called Souls Alike and the first song, which is entitled We Will Not Be Broken? I'm just wondering how much you were able to influence that.
I'm the wrong one to ask. No, no, I didn't have anything to do with that. But I'm glad she's doing it. Yes.
My search for, you know, who do I look to? Who's telling me the truth? Who's lying? And I finally kind of narrowed it down to, if it's a message that empowers you, it puts power within you, then it's a true message. If it's a message that tells you to look for power outside of yourself or tells you that you have no power, then it's a false message. And if it's a message that tells you you have to be afraid or any of those negative adjectives, then it's a false message. Because he's telling the truth. When he's saying we're beings and that's where our power is, he's giving you the power within yourself, individually. Every single one of us has that power. And any message that tells you that is telling you the truth. Anything that tries to take that away from you is lying to you.
See, it's
so even a liar can have a little bit of truth in his message.
How do I take that? I'm the only one standing up here talking. Yeah, paranoid. But you know, I want to just add one other thing. Human being. See, being just is. This is our ancestral connection, is through our being, through our past, our future, our present. Being just is. The human, this is just the vehicle, man. This is the ride that the being has taken to get over to the other side. This is just a river we're crossing. But somebody messed up our perception of reality and used the being, and the energy of the being in such a way as to terrorize and terrify the human, so the human is afraid of the ride. And what kind of life is that? If you're living your life, and it's all, but it's a life of fear, then that's not really what living is all about. That's not what, that was never the intention of any of this. But being just is. We come here, when we're born into this reality, what we call birth, we've entered this reality. What happens, what they call dying? No, the being's going. The reality of being. And we have genetic memories inside of us that's encoded. All of this is encoded in our genetic memory. That's why it was so important for civilization, the industrial civilizer, to erase the ancestral memory from those that it civilized, because that's when they felt powerless. But being just is. So protect your being. That's what the human's supposed to be doing. The being wants to protect the human, right? But the human isn't cutting its end. There was another question.
Right here, brother. Can you speak briefly to your experience and maybe some recollections and some points for those of us that are organizing in the communities, et cetera, in your experience to the concept of organization itself, for example, the American Indian Movement organization, and the concept of power and how you see the need to organize, but maybe not through organization and more in a sense of just you being, because I hear you speaking about power and you are free and you just say you're free. And then those organizations, for example, that are organizing in the community under this like hierarchical or structured organization, can you speak to that? Because I think right now there's so many different organizations out there, and how those come and to points of unity, just based from your experience, I think it'd be a really good thing to listen to.
Well, we'll see if you say that after you get this answer. I don't trust unity. I can handle working together, keeping a balance by us all keeping our own equality, so to speak, perceptual reality, but what I don't trust about unity is that means somebody's got to give something up. I mean, then I guess it is unity, but I look for balance. How do we work with each other and one another in a balance? You're who you are and I'm who I am. But in unity, somebody's got to tell somebody what to do. It always happens. And then all the energy, the focus, the thing that's being put together gets distorted. And it works against itself, kind of like fears and doubts within our individual consciousness. So just looking in terms of energy, I think in organizing, we just have to remember everything is about energy. Everything is about energy. So through the power of our energy, that's how we can truly change things. But the energy I'm talking about is that coherency, clarity, the power of that energy, because we use our intelligence every day. We create our reality every day when we get up, but we use our intelligence to create every day the reality that we create, because that's what we've been programmed to believe is our limitations. See, so to me, understanding that everything is about energy, and so how do we organize the power of this energy? So for one thing is, I think it's necessary to make sense. Think things out. Think things out and make sense. Don't emotionally react to a given situation, because right now the beast is just tromping through the forest and everybody's emotionally reacting. Get out the vote. Get out the vote. We got to outvote them. Damn, get over that. Get over that. I mean, if you want to vote, vote, you know. But get over that, because it's not going to change anything. You know, what do they got to do? Come and kick you in the damn back of the head. You know, they did that in Florida, and then they did it again in Ohio. Put the boots to you, right? Put their president in that they wanted. But people believe in the vote. So I'm saying, be careful what we believe. We need to really think things out. Now, saying that, I understand we're in a reality where sometimes you have to use the voting system to do whatever it is, because you got to do what you got to do. But to believe that it's going to truly change anything, that's the number one mistake. Because I think that we need to be thinking with clarity and coherency, and I think that we have a responsibility as human beings to the past as well as to the future. We have a responsibility to start thinking in terms of how are we going to best protect this planet and the life on this planet, not how we're going to obey the rules, the dark age control mechanisms that they call patriotisms or any other damn religious, any other thing that they, any other illusionary thing that they call it, that keeps us bound to their chains. And it keeps us from thinking clearly and coherently as human beings. We need to make sense. But we need to make sense to ourselves about the vote thing. If you're going to use the vote as a way of putting out knowledge and real information. Don't use it as a way of winning, because you never win. I don't care. Your candidate can be in the office. If you ever win, then how come every election is a desperate attempt? I mean, really. So desperate. See, I'm a non-voter, so nobody can blame this on me. Although they all try. They all try. Well, I vote and you didn't. It's your fault. No, 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 no. I don't think so. We're not going to dance that dance today. When you look at it, most people, when they vote for the lesser of two evils. See, so this is why I don't dance the dance. Uh-uh. I'm not voting for any of the evil. Ain't getting me. I'm not putting any of my energy into those evils. Just not going to happen. So the way this thing goes is, in order to get rid of the old evil, you create a new one. Oh, all right. I guess that's evolution. Or is that cancer progressing and spreading? And to the point of where it takes out life. So to me, organizing the community is we need to think clearly and coherently. We know our communities, because I can't say exactly, because I got an attitude that that was healthier years ago. But to me, it's like, we know our communities, and it's a matter of who makes sense. Whatever I'm saying to you all, see, I don't try to get anybody to join me. I don't want people following me, because I am paranoid about that. I don't like people behind me. The hell are you doing back there anyway? Get over here. No. But it's to use our intelligence and think things out and understand that the political system is a tool. That's all that it is. And maybe it can fix the problem, and maybe it can't. But people don't approach the political system as a tool. They approach it as a belief. And look how everything is spreading back to us. I just think, however we can individually do it, for me, I just push the point, use our intelligence clearly and coherently. Respect our Creator, use our intelligence clearly and coherently. See, because I'm sure everyone has a way they relate to the Creator and how they would pray and have their communication with the Creator. And when I think in terms of power, just the conciseness of power, we can synchronize our power more coherently if when we pray to the Creator, when we're praying to the Creator, it's like a communication. And we should be thanking that Creator for life. Every day we should thank the Creator for life. And right after that, thank you, we should thank the Creator for the gift of intelligence. We should thank every day the Creator for life and intelligence. Every day, life and intelligence, life and intelligence. I would use that as any method anywhere, for no matter what was going on, but we need to do it because it will help us to remember something about life. But if we don't thank the Creator, because too many thank yous for the Creator are just, oh, I forget the word. Well, anyway, we just kind of say them automatically. But to give thanks, because too many prayers are not giving thanks. So it's not a communication. We knew to communicate with our Creator. And I'm not going to quarrel with anyone how they relate to a Creator, although I don't trust God. All right. Joke. Humor, okay. There's a comedian in here. Did I wear you down? Right on. Right on. I can move on. If I'm going to be where?
On the reggae on the river.
If they invite me. Invite me means my band, and it means pay our way and pay us. But if they invite us, we'll be there. I really enjoy reggae, actually. So we've been there twice. Yes. That's right. Talk to the children. I tried this with little kids, little, not to talk down to them as kids. In that little, I can't even make the voice, but you know, talking to that little baby voice. See, I just talk to them. Yeah, I just talk to them and say what I got to say to them. Because, see, we don't understand how intelligent children are. We don't understand how intelligent we are, for one. So let alone about the children. But when we enter this reality, we absorb everything. We absorb everything. I mean, how many of you, like women, grew up to remind yourself of your mother? See, because you absorb. You know, and little boys grow up, absorb. So to me, it's talk clear and coherent to your children. Whatever the age is, from the day they show up, talk to them. Let them know your voice. Use your voice. But the coherent, the real stuff, the things that are of value to you, you can talk to them about these things. Just because a little kid can't talk back doesn't mean they don't get it. Because a part of it is in what you're saying to them, even if they don't get the words. Everything's about energy. We're a part of a vibratory reality. So when we use words, the words we use are important. This word can't mean this thing, because each word makes its own sound. So when we hurl a word out into the vibratory reality, it creates its own ripple effect in the vibratory reality. So, but there are certain sounds, words, that you can use that synchronize more closely with the ripple effect of projected electromagnetic thought, vibratorily speaking. See, so the objective is to match, to sync the vibration. Am I getting new agey on you? If I am, shoot me right now, because I've completely fallen. No. No.
Actually, John, someone just said it's the ancient Mayan concept, what you're talking about. It's not new age.
Yeah, very good. No, all right. But thank you for that. Yes.
In the film, you talked about technology as being something we're becoming more and more dependent upon, and in Western civilization, Europe and America, we see a manifestation of, I can't quite remember what you called it, but more like disease behavior. It manifests in our behavior and our thoughts. I was hoping you could elaborate on that a little bit.
It's like this disease that affects the perception of how the human beings see. So it's like a disease in the spirit that affects the perception of the human. Or it's a disease in the perception of the human that infects the spirit. That's what it is. So it passes through the generations. By the time we're, say, 10 years old, we've learned the concept of guilt and sin and blame, and we're guilty. The sin is us, and we're guilty. And because of that sin of being guilty, we have to submit to authority, male-dominated authority. And here we are. We're just, hey, man, we're just clean light showing up. And then in comes this darkness, these little dots of darkness coming in. And those dots of darkness, then they keep us from recognizing ourselves with the clarity of who we are. And the thing is, the dots add up, because one of the things I find interesting about the guilt, sin, and blame trip is the one thing, rather than people learning something from it, it's like Velcro. They accumulate new blames, new guilts, new sins. So therefore, they diminish themselves even more through a perception that has been indoctrinated into our consciousness, that something is wrong with us. Because they tell us it's human nature to go out and just be violent and cruel. Yeah, you know, it is human. It's not human nature, but it is in human nature. In human nature, the human being, in human nature, we have the same nature that we can be very peaceful and serene, collective and cooperative. But we also have an equal ability to be what we are now. You know what I mean? Just as a civilization. So it's when we enter into this reality, it's really about the values and the realities of the place that we enter into. And you go back to our tribal time, our tribal ancestry, because we're all the descendants of tribes. Each and every one of us is a descendant of a tribe somewhere in our evolution. Well, if you go back to that common collective ancestral tribal memory, which is encoded in our DNA, we do have it. But if you go back into that common memory, then we understood that we were a part of a spiritual reality. We were physical entities in a spiritual reality, and that we were basically borrowing today from yesterday and tomorrow. So therefore, we had a responsibility. Life was about responsibility. Spirituality is about responsibility. Religion is about freedom. Freedom is about religion and political systems. Responsibility is the only thing that you even need to think about that is with spirituality, because it encompasses respect. It encompasses all the whole gig. But anyway, encoded in our ancestral memory, but at one time in our conscious memory, then our lives were about responsibility. So we knew who we were. We knew what our purpose was. We took care of each other, and we worked very collectively and cooperatively. And then the miners showed up. The technologic thing, as soon as they figured out how to take bronze or whatever the first metal was and make a spear out of it, then it started. That's when the race was on. And it literally created religion. Further on things.
Yes.
What motivates them? Well, on the conscious level, I guess what one would call control, greed, authority, the material level. Just everything's from the material plane. No spiritual. You know, these, well, now, if I go into this, then you're going to know just exactly how crazy I am. Do I want to let that out or not? Gee whiz, let me see. All right. Sometimes I get this notion that the life that we're in, Johnny fiction, okay? So all of the planets in the solar system, see? So as human beings, in order to get to the place of balance, because everything's about energy, in order to get to the place of balance, the place of being, that we have to evolve there. Our being has to evolve to reach that place of balance. And if it can cut it, then it gets to be in the place of balance. If it can't cut it, then it doesn't get to be in the place of balance. See, so we get X amount of attempts. So let's just say the planets that are in this solar system. The first time we arrive on, and we're headed towards the sun, back to be with the ultimate being. We're headed to the sun. It's our swim to the sun. On the most distant planet, that's the first time we show up. We come in through the Pleiades. We show up at that most distant planet. I mean, you can look at it from America through the telescopes and stuff. You see nothing, see, because it's another dimension. And we have an experience there. And then whatever that experience was, we move to the next one, see, if we make it through that first experience. We move to the next one, see, and then we keep moving and keep moving. And so what is this, the third one closest? So maybe a couple more, maybe, right? See, and the objective is get back to the sun without letting the human eat you up. Pac-Man. Does this make sense? Well, then you're all crazy. I don't remember what you were asking. Well, you sat there and listened.
And you're still sitting there.
And so under this theory. See, so maybe some of these ones, they don't get to go. See, they become spiritually removed from reality. Their human consciousness, their spirit is gone. This is the last stage, you see. So in the evolution of being, their energy, they, by the time they got here and they got all this material, whatever this stuff is, they ate up their spirit. You know, it's like the salmon swimming upstream. Or it's like the mating in the animal world. The strongest ones, right, are the ones that get to go. That salmon can't make that jump. Then you don't get to play no more. You know, it has to be, so maybe in some kind of a process. So what motivates them, my personal feeling is, just getting around after all of that, getting around to it, I think that their spirit's gone. I think they have no more spiritual connection to reality. And if they have no more spiritual connection to reality, then when the human's gone, that it all ceased to exist for them. And so every journey is to strengthen our spirit on our swim to the sun. And we have these experiences because that spirit that's going to, that energy that's going to make it to the sun has to be compatible to the sun. Sun don't want no viruses. Anyway, that is an explanation to me. Take out the planet stuff at your own risk. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And thanks for being here. Thank you.
How'd you like that? Well, we'd really like to thank Mr. Trudell, bless his heart, for coming up here, and we really appreciate it. And thank you for that movie, too. It's really thought-provoking and very awesome.
I mean, I'll say this very quickly. You have to thank Heather for the movie, because I didn't do anything but live. She did all the stuff.
And thank Heather, too. You know, if you know anybody that you think really would like to see this and needs to see it, it's on Trudell, the movie site. I think it's trudellthemovie.com. You can always look it up on brokenropefoundation.com, too, because we got a link right over to his. So we have just a couple bookkeeping things to do. One of the other things that we do have coming up April 8th and 9th is going to be Celebrate Our Youth Spring Powwow, and everyone is invited. So we do have a lot of things coming up, and thanks for all of you being here. Bless your hearts, and we'll see you soon, and keep your eyes and ears open for more events coming up.
This was produced by the LA Sound Posse and may be freely copied and distributed. You can visit us on the web at lasoundposse.org. We end with a musical collage from the event. Thank you.
σημαίνει αυτό. Και σημαίνει αυτό, νιμπίμι κουέσαι και σημαίνει αυτό. Μας και εκείνη νιμπίμι κουέσαι και σημαίνει αυτό. Όπου αγάμα, σιουάμα, όμοιάμι κουέσαι και σημαίνει αυτό. Thanking you, Grandfather God, Creator, for this evening. Thank you for our lives. We ask you, Grandfather God, bless each and every one of us here tonight. Oh, all my relations.